Okay, good night, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Tzadi Tes. We left off on the very top of Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, but we're going to backtrack a little bit back to Tashema and Daf Tzadi Chesen Beis to get into the flow of things. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alan Zeichon Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, the Nesham Shav and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Zev Belsky, the Zeichon Nishmas, his brother, Simcha Beryl, David Ben, Yibadil Chaim Tovim, Avram Moshe, Nesham Shav and Aliyah, and the Zeichon Nishmas, Tuli Weiss's father, Yoshua Ben Eliezer Chaim, Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to do today is first we're going to continue the discussion we started yesterday, where we had the Shaila of a person sent somebody to sell to sell karka that he owns, a lesech of karka, which is a half of a base kor, and the guy went and he sold a kor. He sold more than he was supposed to sell. So do we assume that the shlichus was kayam by selling the half of the karka, and he was just mosif al shlichuso, or do we assume that that's considered a bittul of the shlichus? So yesterday we saw two rayas. Today we're going to delve deeper into the second of those two rayas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, is it a fulfillment of the shlichus when you do the opposite, when the guy buys less than he was supposed to buy, or sells less than he was supposed to sell from the shlichus? Is that considered to be a bittul of the shlichus? And then the Gemara is going to discuss if the shliach on Amud Beis, if the shliach was sent to sell land to one person and he sold it to two people, is that a bittul of the shlichus? And then the Gemara is going to talk about differences between mistakes in pricing that are made by a balabayis, where we might say that the mecher is kayam even though it's a mistake in pricing, whereas that same mistake made by a shliach may be mevatel the entire mekach. For example, eino na'al the karkao. So if a person misprices the karka that he sells, we're not going to say a din of ona'a in bitul mekach, but maybe a shaliach in that same position that misprices the karka, maybe that is a violation of the shlichus, because the balabayis can say, l'tkuni shidartich v'lo la'avusi, I sent you to do something good for me and not to do something that would not be beneficial for me, and therefore maybe it's a violation of the shlichus. So let's begin again on Tzadi Chesen Beis. We're going to go back to Tashema. So about six lines from the end of the page, Tashema. So again, we're trying to answer this ibaya about this shaila that the Gemara had when a person said, Zabin li lischa, I would like you to sell a lesach of my karka, and the shliach went and he sold a kur of the karka. He sold twice as much. So we wanted to know, is that mosif al dvaravu and lischa miyakani? Is that considered that you're just adding to what you were told to do, but what you actually were told to do, you also did, and therefore that part of the kinyan is chal? Or do we say, no, mavir al dvaravu v'lischa nami lokani, that it's a total violation of the shlichus, and therefore no part of the transaction was binding? So says in Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya. Haisuk subasa mana, and the raya is from our Mishnah. If a woman had a ksuba worth a mana, umachra shava mana v'dinar bimana, and she sold karka that was worth a mana v'dinar for one mana for exactly what she was owed, michra batel, the mecher is batel. So on the surface it sounds like that has nothing to do with our shaila, because in that case she just mispriced the karka. Our shaila is not about a mispricing, it's about where you sold more than you were supposed to sell. But says Gemara, my love, isn't the Mishnah talking about a case not where there was a mispricing of the karka, where she got a bad deal on the karka, but rather dezabin shava mana v'dinar bimana v'dinar, that she took karka that was worth an actual mana v'dinar and she got the right price for it, she got a mana v'dinar? The only thing is, she was never authorized to take karka that was worth a mana v'dinar in the first place. She only should have taken karka that was worth a mana and sold that, because that's all she was really owed. So umay b'mana, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that she sold the karka b'mana? If we're saying that she got the right price for the karka, it doesn't mean that she sold it for a mana. It means that she sold karka that was worth a mana v'dinar for a mana v'dinar, but mana shala, in order to pay the mana that she was owed for the ksuba. Umay afilu, and then what does it mean when the Mishnah says afilu hi omeris achzir dinar liyorshin mikra batel, that even if she says I'll return the dinar to the yorshin, the mechra is batel? Of course she's going to have to return the dinar to the yorshin. She sold karka more than the value of the ksuba. That dinar doesn't belong to her, it belongs to the yisom. She can't take that for herself. She's not allowed to take more than she's owed in her ksuba. No, what the Mishnah means is that afilu hi omeris achzir sadinar liyorshin bidinar mekarkai. Even if she says, I'll go back to that lokeach, the guy who bought the land that was worth a man of a dinar, and I will go back and buy back that extra dinar worth of land, and I'll give that extra dinar worth of land back to the yisomim, and therefore it will turn out lemafreya that I did exactly what I was supposed to do, because then it will turn out that I sold karka worth a mana for a mana, which is exactly what I was owed. So then still the mechar is going to be batel. So says Gemara, so don't you see the raya? V'katali mechra batel, even though she's returning the extra din or karka to the yorshim, so that in the end of the day, she's getting exactly the yorshim are getting exactly what they were supposed to get. She's getting exactly what she was supposed to get. Still, we say the mechar is batel. So you see that if a person is sent to sell karka of a particular size and he sold more karka than that size that he was supposed to sell, that's considered mavir al dvar. That's considered a violation of the shlichus, and the entire mechar is batel, because that's exactly what this almana did. She was ki'ilu the shliach of the yisomim to sell karka that's worth a mana. She went and she sold karka that was worth a mana of a dinar. So if a person sends any shliach to sell karka for him that's the size of a lesach, and the shliach goes and he sells karka the size of a kur, so that's mavir al dvarav. So that's going to be mecher batel. So don't you see that's a raya that it's considered a violation of the shlichus? So says Gemara, no, we could be docha that raya. Amravin b'ridon nasan lo b'do. We're not talking about where she sold karka, she sold more karka than she was allowed to sell, and she got the right price for the karka. No, our Mishnah is talking about where she sold karka at a bad price, meaning she sold karka that was worth a mana of a dinar, and she only got a mana for it. So since she made a mistake in the pricing of the karka, the mecher is going to be batel. And even if she says that she'll make up for the difference of the pricing, and she knows that she got a bad deal, and she charged too little for the karka, so she'll take a dinar out of pocket, and she would no, but that mecher is still going to be batel. However, if she would have sold karka that was worth a man of a dinar for a man of a dinar, we wouldn't say that the entire mecher is batel. We would say she's got to return karka that's worth a dinar, because that's what she took more than she was supposed to, and therefore we cannot be poshet our suffix from this mishnah, because it's not clear from this mishnah that it's even talking about our case. It could be that in this mishnah is talking about a case where she mispriced the karka. So says Gemara, how can you say that the ratio of the Mishnah is that she sold karka for the wrong price, that she sold mana v'dinar for a mana, like we're saying right now? The seifa of the Mishnah brings a case where we say beferish that the almana sold karka for the wrong price, that the mecher is batel. So if that's the case the Seifa is talking about, the Reisha must not be talking about that case, because otherwise why would the Mishnah have to repeat the same case twice? Where does the Seifa talk about where she sold the karka for the wrong price? The Katani Seifa. The Seifa says, Haisuk Subasa Arba Meil Zuz. If Ksuba was 400 Zuz. Machra L'Zebimana. L'Zebimana. L'Achron. Yafa Mana V'dinar B'mana. That she sold 100 dollars worth of karka, then another 100 dollars worth of karka, then another 100 dollars worth of karka, and then the last $100 worth of karka was really $101 worth, $125 worth of karka, and she just sold it for $100, so she misprices that last piece. The mecher of the last one is a bitl mechach, because she sold it for the wrong price. The mecher of the first few pieces of karka is kayam, because she sold those for the right price. So in the Sefer it says, la'achron yafa mana v'dinar bimana. So clearly it's talking about where she sold karka for the wrong price. She took karka that was worth a mana v'dinar and only got a mana for it. So if the Sefer is talking about where she sold it for the wrong price, the Reisha must not be talking about where she sold it for the wrong price. And Mimela, we're back to Araya. The Reisha was talking about where she sold it for the right price. She just sold too much karka. And you see that the mecher is still going to be batel. So we're back to Araya. So it says Merlo, that's not a riot just because of the safest talking about where she sold it for the wrong price, that the Reisha is not necessarily talking about the same thing. It could be Reisha v'Seifa b'da'ozil. It could be both in the Reisha and the Seifa we're talking about. where she got a bad deal. She sold it for the wrong price. Why does the Mishnah need to tell me the same halacha twice? The seifa, how come Ashmalan, the chiddush in the seifa is taima da ozil b'diyasmi, that it's only if she sold the last karka in order to collect her ksuba, and more than that, the yisomim don't owe her. So it turns out that the dinar that she was cheated, that she got a bad deal on, was a loss to the yisomim, and therefore it's mechra batel. But I would assume aval b'dida mechra kayim. But if she sold it for the wrong price and she's the one taking the financial hit on that, that the mechra would be kayim. So if she sells karka for too cheap of a price in order to pay off her ksuba, but let's say there's still a balance to her ksuba, so it will turn out that the dinar that she was off on, the dinar that she was cheated on, that she lost out on, that's not going to cost the yisomim anything. It's going to cost her anything. It's going to cost her something, because we're just going to change the balance of the ksuba. So I would think the mechra would not be batel. We would just deduct that from the balance of the ksuba. So for example, if let's say her ksuba was 200 zuz and she sold karka that's worth a man of a dinar, but she only got a mana for that karka, so she lost a dinar on the deal. So take that. So she's really owed another 100 zuz. Take that dinar and deduct it from the 100 zuz that she's owed. So now she's owed 100 zuz minus a dinar. So she's the one that's going to lose out because of what she did. So I would think in such a case the mechir is not batel, because she's not costing the yisomim anything. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell me the din twice, to tell me the chiddush that only if only if the hefsid is to the yisomim, only then is the mechir going to be batel. So says Gemara, meaning it's telling me not to assume that the mechir is batel in that case, that the mechir is only batel when it's a loss to the yisomim, that the mechir is not batel when it's a loss to her. So says Gemara, Hamid Resha Mina, but that I already know from the Resha of the Mishnah, because the Resha had said, that if she had a $200 ksuba and she took a $200 piece of property and she only got a mana from it, so she might say, okay, you owe me another mana. They'll say, well, you got a bad deal. You took a $200 piece of property, so you were cheated by a mana, and therefore deduct that from the mana that we owe you, and therefore we owe you nothing. Niskab l'ksuba, so the mechir is not batel. The ksuba is binding. If the ksuba was 200 zuz and she took a 200 zuz karka and sold it for a mana, so the misprice was off by a mana, so we don't so that we just deduct from the remainder of the chov that the yisomim have, and therefore it's as if she already received her ksuba. We don't say mechra batel. So that's exactly what we're trying to say is the chiddush of the other part of the Mishnah, but we already have that in the Mishnah. So says Gemara, you're right, the Reish already says this din, but nevertheless there's a need to repeat that din again in the Seifa, because in the case of the Seifa of the Mishnah where she sells it to several different people, I would have made a mistake and been mevatel the mecher even by the first people that she sold it to, if it was off in the price, even though there's still a chov that remains to the almana, that the yisomim still owe to the almana. Mao de tema, I would have said that dafka in the ratio of the mishnah the mecher is kaim, because hasum who distalka lamehai beis legamri. With that mechira, it closes the deal. The yisomim and the almana now no longer have any relationship. When you're mekayim this mekach and you deduct for the almana the shear of the hozala, the amount that she was off in the pricing from the obligation of the ksuba that the yisomim have toward her, so that closes the book on that. That ends their arrangement. She no longer has any tviya on these yisomim. So that's where I would say the mechira is kayim. Aval hacha nigzar mana risha, not a mana achron. But over here, when she sells to several different people, if she's off in the pricing of the first karkos that she said that she sold, so we're not going to be mevatel the mekach for those karkos, then you might come to make a mistake and think that even she's off on the last karka that she sold, not to be mevatel the mekach. So in order not to make that confusion, that mistake between the earlier karkos where there's still a relationship going on with the yisomim and the later karkos, so I would think that there's makom to be mevatel the mecher even on the earlier karkos. So kamash milan, that's why the Mishnah has to tell me, don't make such a gzeira. And when she makes a mistake on the pricing with the earlier karkos, the mecher is kayim, and just deduct it from the remainder of her ksuba. So that closes the discussion of raya number two, and in the end of the day, we don't have a raya. Meaning raya number two was, from our Mishnah, we see, isn't the case of our Mishnah where she sold exactly what she's supposed to sell, but then just more on top of that. And the Gemara said, no. The case in our Mishnah was not where she did that. The case in our Mishnah was there was a mispricing. So the Gemara went down this whole rabbit hole. If there was a mispricing, didn't the Mishnah already say that once? Didn't the Mishnah already say it twice? So we tried to explain why the Mishnah was not repetitive, but it is all based on the mispricing. It's not based on the Shaila that we actually asked, where what there wasn't a mispricing, where the Shaila we asked was she just sold more property than she was entitled to sell, or Shliach sold more property than he was entitled to sell. So now the Gemara reverses it. Now the Gemara says, Ikadamri, another version of the question is that Halot Yibayelach, that maybe there's no Safek, that Heichadam Leizil Zabin Leilischa V'Zabin Leikura, that in a case where Meshaleach tells the Shliach, I want you to buy for me, sell for me a Lesach, and he goes and he sells a Kur, he sells twice as much as he was supposed to sell, Devadei Mosef Al Dvarav Havi, that maybe in such a case it's Pashut, that he's considered to be Mosef on the Meshaleach, and not a bittul of the shlichus, and therefore the first lesach that he sold is in fact sold. The sale is in fact binding. The Rush adds that that's bitanai, that the lokeach is willing to go along with that. He's willing to say, okay, so now I only bought a lesach. I thought I bought a kur, but I'll go along with the fact that I only bought a lesach, even though the shliach told him he's selling him a kur. But if the lokeach says, no, I didn't want to buy a lesach of karka. I wanted to buy a kur of karka. Meaning there's another party over here. We can't just talk about, did the shliach do what the mishaleach wanted him to do? The shliach then went and sold it to somebody. So that lokeach has to be happy with the arrangement also, to say, oh yeah, it's kayam, he did what he wanted him to do, but the lokeach has to be okay with it. So the Rush points out that the lokeach has to be okay with taking a lesach. So if the lokeach is okay with taking a lesach, so then that's considered a fulfillment of the shliach's karma. Sadal points out that the mecher is batel in such a case where the lokeach wants only a kor and the balabayas wants to sell only a lesach, only if the shliach let the lokeach know that he's coming with the shlichus of the balabayas. But if the shliach never told the kona that he's coming with the shlichus of the balabayas, the mecher is going to be kayim on the entire kor, and the shliach and the mishaleach are going to have to be yorid ledin. Meaning if the shliach presented himself as, I'm selling my own karka, and he didn't let him know that he's working for somebody else, that he's representing a balabayas, and he sells him a kor of karka, and then after the whole, everything goes down, and the mishaleach says, what did you sell the kor for? I told you to sell a lesach. And the shliach says, I just figured I would do some extra. Okay, we'll keep it at a lesach. And the lokeach says, no, I don't want a lesach. I want a kor like I actually bought. So the Rush says that in such a case where the lokeach never knew that there was a third party involved, he gets to keep the entire kor of karka, and the shliach and the mishaleach are going to have to fight out over the difference. But anyway, that's how the Kabbalah sounds. But the Rush, again, just alerts us to the fact that the lokeach has to be interested also over here. But anyway, the Gemara says that there's no shaila, that if a person was sent as a shliach to sell X amount of karka and he sold 2X amount of karka, the mecher is kayam for X, and the extra will have to go back. But the mecher is kayam on that amount. He was just mosav al dvarav. Ki tibayilach, the real shaila is the opposite. Damar leizil zaben likura, vazel zaben leilischa. It's when the mishaleach sends the shliach to sell a kur of karka, and the shliach went and he only sold the lesach of karka. He sold less than he was supposed to sell. So mi amrinan amar lei detavelach abdilach. Do we say that the shlichus is not batel because the shliach could tell the mishaleach, I was doing you a favor by not selling all of your karka, by not selling the entire kur, because you were overreacting. I mean, you know, why do people ever sell karka? People sell karka because they need money. So he said, how much money did you really need right now? I mean, you're trying to make up, you know, payroll for your company. You're trying to, whatever the cash you need right now, you overshot. You didn't need to sell a whole kur. Why would you sell away all your karka? So I was doing you a good, I was doing you a favor. Because if it turns out that you overshot and you didn't need all that cash, you're not going to be able to back out on a mecher if you sold the entire kur. So I did you a favor, and in case you have charata on this mechira, I only sold a lesach. And guess what? If you need more cash, you always have the other lesach. You can sell that too, and then you will have sold the whole kor. But you can make that decision later on. Dilma, or maybe no, maybe Amar Lei, maybe the Mishaleach could tell the Shliach, you didn't do my shlichus. Yeah, I could sell the second lesach right now, but lo nichali delish shtar ilavai. But I don't want to have a second shtar mechira that demonstrates that I sold karka. And even if the Mishaleach doesn't actually say that, but it's normal for people to be makbid about such things. When a shliach is mishana from what the balabayis says, that's enough to be mivatel shlichus, because it's a reasonable thing for him to say. Then maybe he could say, I don't want two shtaros against me. I wanted to make it one clean sale where I got all the money that I needed. I don't want to sell some of it now and see if I need money later and then sell more, and then there's two shtare mecher against me. What's the problem of having multiple shtare mecher? I mean, okay, so he made multiple business deals. What's the big deal about that? So Rashi in Ksav Yad and Talmud Rashba write that it's a gnai for a person that he has so many shtari mechira out against him, because it shows that he's getting desperate, that he keeps selling off more assets. So if it's just one shtar, okay, so it was one time he needed to sell off an asset. But if it keeps on happening, so then it's a gnai for the person. The Tosos in Amud Beis in Dibra Maskal Amar LaEchad says that riboy shtaros actually devalues the karka, because when people see that he needs money, if he keeps selling off assets, they realize that he's desperate for cash. And if he's desperate for cash, they know that they can get a better deal. They see that he needs money. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that it's not just that. It's not about the money. It's that every shtar involves a tircha. Yeah, every shtar involves hiring a sofer and bringing edim. Every shtar is an ordeal. You got to hire lawyers. You got to do. They say he doesn't want so many shtaros. He doesn't want to be dealing with multiple shtaros. So again, so the two tzadim of the shayla are. The guy, the Mishaleach sent the Shliach to sell a large amount of karka, a kor of karka. The Shliach said, the Shliach only went and sold a lesach of karka. So is that sale binding? Can the Shliach say, I did you a favor because maybe you're not going to need all this cash? Or can the Mishaleach say, you didn't do me any favors because now when I do need the cash, I'm going to have to sell more karka? So the Ritva explains that first side, and he says that if it's clear that the Balabais wanted to dafka sell the entire core at one time, no shliach could say the tavalach avilach. Meaning, if it was obvious that the balabayis only wanted to sell a core of karka and not a lesach, the shliach can say, "Yeah, but I know what's in your best interest better than you know what's in your best interest." You might, but that's not called shlichus. Shlichus is that if he sent you to do something, you have to do it, because sof you didn't do your shlichus. We always go with the das of the balabayis at the shasa shlichus. So you have to say that the suffix was what. Was the Das Balabayas, then maybe the Balabayas had kavana to sell the karka up until the size of a kor. And if you're able to successfully sell less than a kor, then maybe the Das of the Balabayas, says the Ritva, that's the suffix. Maybe the Mishalech, really, at the time of the Shlichus, was thinking, you know what, if you could sell less, maybe do that first. Because a person is not so quick to sell all of his karkaos, and maybe he's not going to need all that money. But if his kavanah was dafka to sell the entire kor, then for sure it's not a fulfillment of the shlichus. But the svara is maybe that wasn't his kavanah, and if it was his kavanah to sell the dafka the entire kor, he should have made that more clear. Not just you're authorized to sell a kor of my karka, but you may only sell a kor of my karka. You're not allowed to sell anything. He didn't say that. He just said you're authorized to sell a kor of karka. So that's what the Ritva says. The suffix is, what did he mean by that? So the Ritva writes that we don't assume that the shliach was mishana mishlichuso, and the shliach is mishana, that is mitarets his shinoi, that he's taiching it up, and he's saying, no, tavalach avdilach. No, we say that was the shlichus meikara, and the second side of the Gemara is that, no, maybe the balabai said, dafka, I want you to sell the entire kor. And if he didn't want to sell the entire kor, he would not have said, sell a kor of my karka. And he doesn't want half of a sale. That's how the Ritva understands the Gemara, that the whole suffix was, what was the Das HaMishaleach Me'ikara? The suffix is not whether the shliach did a good thing for the balabayis or not. Because it could be a good thing for the balabayis, but if it's not what he wanted, then that's not called shlichus. The Rush also writes that the tova that the shliach did is not really the primary factor over here. The fact that he did him something that was actually good for him. The issue is whether it was a reyusa for the mishaleach or not. The suffix is whether riboy shtarus is a reyusa for the mishaleach. So the Rush says the suffix gemara would also be in a case where he sells a chatzi kor to one person and a chatzi kor to another person. So the shliach can't say tavalach avdilach, I did you a favor, because he ended up selling the whole kor. But maybe the real shaila is on the second side. Is a riboy shtarus considered a reyusa? Is that considered an abrogation of the shlichus? Is creating a more shtarus than it needed to be, is that considered a violation of the shlichus? So the Rush also is not goris this idea of the tavilach avdilach, of a shliach being able to come to a mishalech and saying, yeah, but I did something good for you. I did even better for you. There's no doing better for me. You're supposed to say, your job is to do what I asked you to do, not to do better for me. So both the Ritva and the Rush sort of minimize that phrase of the tavilach avdilach, each in different ways. But the way the Rush does it is by emphasizing the other half of the equation, that whether it's making multiple shtarls is considered a reyusa, is considered a violation of the shlichus. So anyway, so the Gemara tries to be poshet the ibaya. Amr b'chanin misura tashma. So we learn this from a Mishnah Maseches Mi'ila. Nasal no dinar shalzav. A mishaleach gives to a shliach a dinar shalzav, which is the equivalent to 25 dinarim of kesef, which is 6 sla'im of kesef. So so he gives him this dinar of zav, 6 sla'im of kesef of hegdish, but he didn't know that it belonged to Hagdish. And he said to him, Haveli Chaluk, here's 6 sla'im, buy me a jacket. And he managed to buy a jacket for only 3 sla'im, and then he had an extra 3 sla'im, so he bought him a talus with that. So both the Mishaleach and the Shliach are in violation of Mi'ila for using this Hagdish money. The Mishaleach violates Mi'ila because he did his Shlichus to spend the entire dinar on Chulim by buying this Chaluk, and the Shliach violated Mi'ila by buying the talus with the change, with the extra money that he wasn't spending on behalf of the Mishaleach. So it's very similar to when the Mishaleach says to the Shliach to sell a kor for me, and the guy sells only a lesach. So over here also the Balabais said, I want you to spend this whole dinar, and he went and he spent only a half of the dinar. So yeah, Bishlam Shliach ki agavna osa shlichuso most of el dvar v'havi. If you can say when the Shliach did half of what he was supposed to do, that's considered to be a fulfillment of the shlichus, and it's just that he's most of all dvar v'havi. It's not a violation. So mishum hachi balabayis ma'al. That's why the balabayis is in violation of mi'ila, because the shlichus was done. Eli amrit maver al dvar v'havi. But if you're going to say that if the shliach does less than what the balabayis asked him to do, it's considered that he didn't do the shlichus at all. Well, then amai ma'al. Why would the balabayis be in violation of mi'ila? The balabayis never told him to spend 3 dinar in a chaluk. He told him to spend 6 3 slaim on a chaluk. He told him to spend 6 on a chaluk. So if that's a violation of the shlichos, then the balabayis should not be in violation of mi'ila whatsoever. So the Gemara rejects the raya of Rabbi Chanina Misura, that it could be that the shliach that does less than he was asked to do is considered a violation of the shlichos. But hachamayaskinan ta'aisi leishav sheish b'shalosh, he got a great deal. The shliach brought the mishaleach a chaluk that was worth 6 sla'im that he happened to get half price for 3 sla'im. And so the shliach did his shlichus because the balabai said, I want you to buy me a chaluk that costs 6 sla'im, that's worth 6 sla'im. The fact that he got a cheap price on that, that's not considered a violation of the shlichus, and therefore it makes sense that the balabai is in violation of mi'ila of that case. But if that's the case, why is the shliach in violation of mi'ila when he buys the talis? Minastam, the mishaleach would be happy to receive for that one dinar that he thought he was only going to get the chaluk, to get 2 things, to get a chaluk and a talus. So says Gemara, no, a talus. The shliach is in violation of mi'ila because of the 3 slime that he spent on the talus. That was not something that he was instructed to do by the mishaleach. That was not done with the das of the balabais. And therefore, that's the shliach's mi'ila. Ihachi ema seifa, but the seifa of that very same Mishnah says that Rabbi Yudomer af bazeh, that even in such a case that the balabais lo ma'al, the first case of the Mishnah over there, that the balabais is not ma'al that I asked for a larger chaluk and you bought me a smaller and worse one. So if the case was like we're saying that he brought him the chaluk that's worth exactly what it was meant to be worth, then the mishalech can't say you bought me a katan vera. He said, no, I got you exactly what you wanted me to get you. You told me what size. You told me I got you exactly. I just got a great deal on it. So what does that mean? How could the mishalech say that the mishalech could taina that you got me the wrong one? So answers, well, no, my ra, when he's coming with a taina that it's ra, what does it mean? It means ra bedamim, that you bought it for too cheap. Why does the mishalech care that he bought it for too cheap? Adrav, he should be happy that he got it for so cheap. He said, I didn't want you to buy me a chaluk that, you know, a particular chaluk. I wanted you to use all this money to buy the best chaluk you could get. So if you got such a good chaluk for only 3 dinar, you could have gotten me a better one if you would have spent, for 3 slaim, you could have gotten me a better one if you would have spent 6 slaim. And therefore, it's a violation of the shlichus. And the Tanakhama holds that the balabais is ma'al, because the sheikh did the shlichus by buying him the chaluk that he asked for. So the Gemara brings a raya from the Tosefta Maseches Meila that a mishalech, when he says chaluk ra, it doesn't mean a worse chaluk. It means a chaluk that was bought for the wrong amount of money. Dekanami, we could be medayik this from the Tosefta, that when he says ra, it means for the wrong amount of money. Dekatani, because it says that even though the balabais is not mal, moda Rabbi Yehuda bekitnis. Rabbi Yehuda's moda to the chachamim when he sent the shliach to buy a certain quantity of beans for a seller, and the shliach brought him that amount, that same quantity of beans, but he got it for only a half a seller, and for the extra half a seller he bought something else. That then he's moda that sheshnei malu, that both the mishalech and the shliach are in violation of mi'ila. Why is Rabbi Yehuda moda in that case that they're both in violation of mi'ila? Shakitnis b'sela, the kitnis b'pruta, because the price of kitnis that is always going to be kavua, whether you buy it for a pruta or whether you buy it for a sela. Meaning, when you buy a kitnis b'sela, the amount of kitnis that you get for the that the buyer gets for each pruta is exactly the amount that you would get if you were to only spend a pruta on it. Meaning, it's you buy by the weight, so it doesn't. It's not like you get more when you spend more money. You just get it's all proportional. So the mishalech can't make a taina that if you would have bought me kitnis b'sela, then I would have gotten so much more. No, you would have gotten proportionally more. So because that's what the price of kitnis is. So shema mina. So you see that chaluk ra, when Rabbi Yehuda says chaluk ra, he means ra bedamim. Because if it would have meant ra mamish, that the chaluk is worth 3 slaim, so by kitnis in such a case, if the mishalech would have asked to buy him beans that are worth a seller, and he would have bought beans worth a half a seller, and he buys with the extra half a seller another type of bean, so why would the balabais be moel? He could say that he can make the taina with the kitnis the same way he makes the taina with the talis, that I wanted a full seller worth of the first type of bean. So elamai, you see that ra means ra bedamin. So asking about hechidami, what case are we talking about in the Mishnah Maseches Meila where the value, the price of the kitnis is kavua without considering the amount that he pays for it? Elam abasur de mizamni b'shuma. If we're talking about where kitnis is not sold based on measurement, it's based on an estimation. Say hechidiyav leisela mosli gabi tvei. Well, then it's pashut that if a person comes to buy kitnis for a seller, they're going to give for each pruta a larger amount from someone who comes to only buy a tiny amount for a pruta. So over here also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the mishalech could have a taina to the shliach that he didn't do his shlichus, just like by the chaluk, because if he would have bought for the full amount of money, they would have given you a better price. So Rav Papa, no, it's ba'asud dekhali bekani. We're talking about a case where they measure the kitnis based on a certain measuring utensil called a kana. The amar lei, kana bepruta, where they say each kana is, you get each kana for a pruta. So you're not going to get a better price if you spend more money. So Tashma says, well, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah on this ibaya. Again, what was the shaila that we had? A person sends a shliach to sell a kur. The shliach sells only a lesech. Is that a fulfillment of the shlichus, or is that a total abrogation of the shlichus? So the Mishnah said, ksubasa arba meil zuz. If a woman's ksuba is worth 400 zuz, machra lezebimana lezebimana lachroni afimana bedina bimana, she sold the first $100 karka to one person, second $100 to another person, third $100 to another person, and then the last one was yafa mana bedina for a mana, shel achron batel the shel kulin mechron kayam, that the last sale is batel, but the first three are all kayam. So in the case of the Mishnah, the almana was the shliach of the yisomim to sell karka that's worth 400 zuz. She sold the first one karka that's worth 100, and nevertheless the mechir is kayam. So don't you see that even though she didn't sell 400 zuz worth of karka on that first sale, she did less than she was supposed to do, and the mechir is going to be kayam because proportionally she got exactly what she should have gotten. So as says Gemara, no, kadam rav shish rabbi dravidi bikatini hachanami bikatini, that we're going to say soon, Rav Shisha is going to explain in our Mishnah that we're talking about four small fields that are all separate from each other. They weren't continuous to each other. They're not right next to each other. They're not neighboring each other. So clearly when the Yisomim are sending her to sell 400 zuz worth of karkaos, they don't mean to sell it to one person, because it's impossible to sell four lands in four different places to one person. Obviously the shlichus in that case was that she should sell it to four different people. So that clearly is not an abrogation of the shlichus. That was the shlichus. So we hear also the right from our Mishnah, where the shliach is mechaser from what the Mishnah said. It's not a bit of the shlichus. It could be that it's talking about Picatinny, it's talking about small fields, that originally the kavanah of the Yisomim was not to sell it to one person, and therefore the mechir is going to be kayim. But it could be that in a situation where there was one large field and the shliach goes and sells half of it, maybe that's a violation of the shlichus. So that's not a raya. So now the Gemara brings a machlokas amurayim. If a bal karka says to a shliach to sell karka to one person, and the shliach goes and sells it to two people, is the riboy b'shtaro something that he's going to be makbid about? So pshita amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim, amar le'echad v'lo l'shnayim. It's obvious if he said it explicitly, sell it to one person, not to two people. So to sell it to two people is a violation of the shlichus. But amar le'echad stam amai, what if he says, go sell this karka to somebody, to a person, and he didn't say velo lishnayim, and then the shliach goes and he finds two separate buyers, each for half of the karka. Is that a violation? Because there's riboy b'shtaros. So if Huna amar le'echad velo lishnayim, that minastam he meant one buyer and not two buyers, and therefore it's a violation. Rav Chisra bar Rav Huna adami tarvayu le'echad v'afil lishnayim le'echad v'afil l'meya. He doesn't care. He just wants to sell all the karkos. You could find as many buyers for as many tiny portions of this karka as you'd like. So ikla Rav Nachman l'surah. Rav Nachman went to Surah, Ulgabei, Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna went to visit him. So I'm like, yeah, Gavnamai. They said, what's the din in such a case where the Mishaleach says, sell this karka to one person, and he doesn't say, velo lishnayim, and then the Shliach went and he sold it to two people. So I'm like, Rav Nachman said that, le'echad vafil lishnayim, le'echad vafil l'meya. He means even to two people, even to 100 people. So I'm like, afgav to Shliach. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, would you say that even if the Shliach made a mistake and he sold it for cheap, that the mechir is still kayim? Amar lahu, d'tash shliach lo kamina. What are you talking about? If he sold it for cheap, then of course the mechir is not kayim. He sold it for the wrong price. That has nothing to do with how many people he sold it to. So of course the mechir is not kayim. Amar lahu, so Chisra Rabbi Rav Huna said, v'hamar mar, but you're the one that taught us the Mishnah, Maseches B'Metzia, that eino nal l'karkaos, that if you sell karka for less than its value, its market value, or more than its market value, the mechir is kayim, because the dinim of hana'ah don't apply to karkaos. So by shliach also, if he sells it for the wrong price, shouldn't we say that the price is the price, because eino nal b'karkaos, that there's no dinim of hana'ah when it comes to selling real estate? So Rav Nachman says, no. There is a din of eino nal b'karkaos when you're selling your own karka, and you made a mistake in the pricing, so you can't have a taina of hana'ah. Aval tah shliach, but if you ask somebody to sell karka for you, and he makes a mistake and gets the wrong price for that karka, you could say, when you made that sale, you were not acting as my shliach, because I made you my shliach to do something that's beneficial to me, and you did something that was decidedly not beneficial to me. Where do we ever find that there's a difference, that if the balabais would have done the same thing, the mechir would have been kayim? But now that he sends a shliach to do it, it's not going to be kayim, because it's not considered a fulfillment of the shlichus. So we have such a similar thing when it comes to being mafresh, trumas ma'isros, titzanan, homer the shluchot say utrom. If a person tells the shliach, go take trumas for me, so tarim kadas balabais, the shliach should try to assess how much truma the balabais would want to give, because truma is not a set amount. A generous person gives 2.5%, 1/40th. A more stingy person gives 1/60th. An average person gives 2%, gives 1/50th. So you should assess if this guy's a stingy, a generous, or an average person. And if you don't know what kind of person he is, Mishum. Assume the middle. Assume 2%. Piches asara hosef asara chumas a chuma. But if you give 1/40th and 1/60th, the chuma is still going to be binding. Vilgabi balabayis tanya, but it says by the balabayis taram valabiyado afilu echad meyasum chumas a chuma. If a person is mafresh chuma and he's mafresh way too much, he's mafresh 5% for chuma, the chuma is binding. So you see a riot to Rav Chisson and Rav Barafuna that if you tell a shliach to sell something to one person and you don't say not to two people, that the halacha is that you sell to you could sell even to two people. We're not worried about riboy shtaros, but that's in the end of the day what the Gemara is trying to prove. But you do see in general that there is a difference between a shliach making a mistake and a balabais making a mistake. So says Gemara, you see the difference between the shliach making a mistake and balabais making a mistake. Now we're back to that question: what if the mishaleach says sell to one person and the shliach sells to two people? So the Gemara says Tashma, let's bring one more raya about that. Haysu ksubasa arba meizuz. If your ksuba is worth 400 zuz, machra lezebemana ulzebemana ulachron shavemana bedinu bemana. She sells to the first person for 100, the second person for 100, the third person for 100. Last person she takes a karka worth a mana bedinu and sells it for 100. Shalachron batal shalkulan mechron kayim. So the last one is batal, all the rest is kayim. Now the almana is like a shliach of the yisom to sell the karka. They didn't say to sell it to one and not to two. And if it's the derech bnei adam to be makbid to only sell it to one person, so why does the Beis Din, which serves as the Yad HaYisomim, why aren't they going to be mevatel the mecher if she sold it to so many different people? So it must be that people aren't so makbid about ribuy shtaros. Says Gemara, no. Amar Rav Shisha ben Ravidi, this is what we alluded to before. Bikatini. The case in the Mishnah must be where it was self understood that she was going to sell it to multiple people because there were these small pieces of land all over the place. It wasn't one continuous piece of land. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tesla. I'm getting my...